We're going to talk about grave clothes today. We're in the third chapter of the book of Colossians. I was just saying back there, I don't know how long I'll be in the third chapter because of what is in there. All of the Bible, when we read, is like a mirror. We're going to look into that word, and it immediately shows us who we are, what we are, the truth about ourselves. But there's just something about Colossians that convicts me, encourages me, and is a daily reminder of who I really am. You know, sometimes we can forget. Life happens. We get busy. We get involved. We get all of the stuff that's going around us. Thousands upon thousands of voices. It's amazing. One of the things that I regret is I am a paper person. If any of you have been in my office, you know I have a computer there, but I got piles of paper because I still don't trust computers. They go down. And my paper, my wife has strict instructions that she can go in anywhere in the house. Don't touch my desk. I know where everything is. When I go home, I look at my desk, and I can tell her she's moved my papers. My joy was a cup of coffee and a newspaper every morning. But that's not newspapers are so expensive, they don't really have the up-to-date news. I mean, my phone goes off at 2:00 in the morning and will tell me what's happening across the world. We have voices. We have advertisement. We have things that entice us. And this chapter just calls us to kind of think a minute and let's really see in Christ who we are. A.W. Tozer, a great theologian, pastor, made this statement. He said, the devil has made it his business to keep Christians in bondage, bound and gagged, actually imprisoned in their grave clothes. I got some pictures of grave clothes. This is that century's, it's a far cry from a three-piece coat and a tie, right? That's grave clothes. I think I had one more. There it is. Did we have the mummy one? Yeah. A lot of them were just bound in strips and clothes because they would put the embalming, the myrrh and the spices, and they would put it next to their body and bind them that way. That's how they were barred. Two passages that I thought about in John 11, verses 38 and 44, Jesus tells his story of Lazarus. Lazarus, as you know, was a good friend. Mary and Martha was his sisters. He got word that Lazarus had died. And so Jesus, it said, tarried 3 days. And by the time he got there, Mary and Martha were in tears. Lazarus is dead. And Jesus said these words, Lazarus isn't dead. He's there for the glory of God. And then it talks about he went to the grave, the sepulchre, where he was buried. And he said, take away the stone. Mary said to him, and I like the King James Version. Let's see, my version, the new one, says, by this time, there is a bad odor. In the King James, it says, by this time, he stinketh. I like that. So that's what by now, he's stinking because he's been there 4 days. And so Jesus stood there, and as you probably know, had he just yelled, come forth, everybody in that graveyard would have come out. But he didn't. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I've always imagined that Lazarus had to do a little shuffle or maybe hop out of that grave because as you've seen, he was bound in grave clothes. And Jesus said to those around him, unbind him, take off the grave clothes. In Jesus' own resurrection, when John and Peter raced to the tomb, the scriptures record in John 20 that when they looked in, the face cloth was folded and strips of cloth were laying there. When Jesus came out of the grave, we know that he had to have some type of clothing. Where that comes from, we don't know. But it does represent the fact that we go into the grave with a perishable body, we will come out of the grave with an imperishable body. But all of his grave clothes were left. His countenance had changed because when Mary Magdalene, one of the closest followers, came up to him, she thought he was the gardener. Again, an illustration that we will maintain who we are, but we're going to look different. So there's a lot of things that speaks to the resurrection. But this morning, the Apostle Paul is simply talking about the grave clothes that bind us. You see, when Jesus comes into our life, when Jesus guarantees us that salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection, he takes away the old and he puts in the new. And our new clothes are called righteousness and holiness. And you see, we are not honoring Christ by arrested development. By that, thinking that a mediocrity type life will suffice. In the Greek, mediocrity simply means halfway to the peak. And God has called us to walk in the peaks of righteousness and holiness in which he has provided. But there's a stipulation we need to be reminded. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul reminds us of something. He says, since or because. Now, hold that there. That since refers right back to verse 20 in chapter 2. It says, since you have died with Christ. Okay? Now he's saying, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on earthly things, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you shall also appear with him in glory. The reminder is this. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. The reminder is we are different once we experience saving faith with Jesus Christ. When we look at our life and we find out that we have not changed one bit, then we need to find out, did we have religious indigestion? What's going on in our life? Because we have this power. Why do we have the power to change? Because the life, this body that we are trapped in, we are born into sin with a sinful nature. Listen, you don't have to teach children to do bad things. They just do it on their own. They'll go find crayons and come back and write on a wall. You don't have to have a class in how to write with crayons on the wall. We have this sinful inclination. And yet God in his love knew that that is a life that is actually a dead life. We think that in our old life we were really living, having a great time. This is the high life. It's only when you come to Christ. When Christ sets us free, when we are resurrected from that day old dead life, that we realize just exactly what life is. You see, grave clothes represents the things we used to do when we were spiritually dead. Grave clothes represents addictions and the worldly things we hold on to or hold on to us. Grave clothes represents patterns of thinking and living rooted in sin in the old nature. Grave clothes represents our worldly habits, and grave clothes represents our limited beliefs in what God can do. You see, grave clothes, even though they stink, and Paul will verify that in a minute, we are comfortable in them. Grave clothes is kind of like, this thought came to my mind, if in Christ we are asleep when we die, grave clothes would be pajamas. And how many of you have gone to Walmart and people are in there shopping in their pajamas? I saw a kid go get on the bus the other day and he had pajamas on. And I'm thinking, that's kind of like we live our life sometime. We walk around in our pajamas. We walk around in our grave clothes because we are lazy to the point of exploring the Word of God to see who we are, how we are called, how God equipped us, and what He's going to do through us. Instead of that, even though it's a stinking existence, we're comfortable in those old grave clothes. God never intended us. He said we need to take them off. In the third chapter, beginning in verse 5, here's what he said. It's not only take them off, put them to death, burn them. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. This is an earthly nature. We sometimes sit here and think very sanctimoniously, oh, that's not me. But oh, yes, it is in our old existence. Because we don't like to talk about sexual immorality. Here's the thing. We will condemn homosexuality and we will turn our face and say nothing about adultery. Sin is sin. Sexual immorality is sexual immorality. That's part of the old thing. Impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. This is why we all lived before Christ with a death sentence, because the wrath of God was against us, because this was our nature. And he said, but because of this is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must get rid yourselves of all such things as these. Here's the thing. I are responsible for our grave clothes. These are the things we are to take off. These are the things we are to put away. These are the things that we are to realize is what held us in such a bondage. You know, we have some grave clothes that I call sins in good standing. These are the sins that are kind of like our pets. He brings these out in verse 8. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language on your lips. Do not lie to each other. These are the things that we just kind of become our pets. Oh, well, everybody does them. And so we go from one, instead of clearing ourselves, instead of from the inside out being cured and that spilling over, we hold on to these things. Somebody said to me the other day, well, the Bible says we are to be angry. And I said, yeah, but it said, and sin not. You see, righteous anger, we should be angered at what's going on in this world. We should be angered when babies are killed. We should be angered when children go to school and their teacher talks them in to being, I don't know all the terms, but like sexual neutral, and they go by it or this or they. And the law says those parents don't have to tell their children. God help. God help. I've got grandchildren, and it just sickens me to know. It makes me angry. We need to understand, whenever we have friendship with the world, we have chosen to walk opposite of the nature that we're in. And I want to tell you what happens. You may say, well, I'm not immoral, I don't commit adultery, I don't lust. Okay, good, you're not supposed to. Big deal, you don't get a prize for that, okay? You're not supposed to as a Christian. But these other things, you need to get rid of them, because they will lead you right back into the path that you've come out of. We're to take them off. Take them all off, because God has closed us. I'll tell you something else. Grave clothes are old insecurities. I talk to people all the time who, let's say 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, they were hurt. Somebody hurt their feelings. And maybe they really were hurt, and maybe it really did shatter them. But they're still walking 25 years later in the prison of insecurities and hurts. There comes a time, folks, that you gotta get over it and get on with life. Do we really realize the things that we use as justifications for who I am? I get tired of somebody saying, oh, that's just who I am. That's just who I am. Well, listen, we can't help who we am, but I'll tell you what, God steps in and makes us who we can be and who we become. And these old insecurities, these old hurts, these are the things that cause us to separate ourselves from the strong tower. You know, you need to read a psalm a day. Just about every psalm talks about God is our strong tower. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our fortress. And when you wake up in the morning and you begin to see what God is, I guarantee you, your choice that day will be run to God instead of running the other way. But you need to know that. There's something else that goes on. Weak trust. You know, this is not just because we're in a capital campaign. You know, my wife and I, we had to sit down and we had to figure what we were going to do. And you know, it came to my mind with the things that Satan tempted me through, that we lack true trust in God. Trust in God means, there is an event that whenever workers get together, team members, and they have this thing where one person would stand facing away and the other person was standing back of them, and you were just supposed to fall backwards into their arms. That's trust. We're not just to fall backwards. We're to walk forward. We're to trust in everything God has said. And I want to tell you a major obstacle to trust. It's when we think we can do something. When we think your life depends on you. When we think that we own something. That we think that this world is going to be forever. When we think that we can take everything that we got with us and that there will be a garage in our mansion in heaven so we can pack it with boxes like so many garages are packed, and that's going to be our stuff. Listen, the Bible says you came into the world naked and you're going out naked. They don't bind you with cloths, But they put a suit on you, and I'm going to tell you a secret about the suit the undertaker will give you. Those pockets are sewed shut. You can't put nothing in them. We need to realize that dependency and trust in God is not a bad thing. Because, see, I really think, because we're quick to defend ourselves, we're quick to defend our weaknesses, we're quick to defend our defeats, rather than being brokenhearted that we have given a witness that God can't do what he said he was going to do. The problem? Some of our grave clothes are so comfortable, we don't want to take them off. Ephesians 4:22. We got that? You were taught with regard to your former way of life, talking about the old way, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires. The word corrupted, that's a, in Greek, you know, Greek picture, this word means something like this. And that word corrupt pictures a corpse laying out in the sun for months at a time. That stinks. That's rotten. That's perverse. We, too many times, have too high of regard for the life that Jesus Christ rescued us from. I have heard testimonies. And in fact, you know, every once in a while, trouble will find me. I don't go looking for it, but I'll turn a corner and there it is. I was listening to some men. We were standing around and they were giving their testimony. And this guy got through talking about his former life. And this question just popped out. I said, why in the world did you become a Christian? Sound like you love that life. Sound like that was the greatest life since peanut butter and bread. And you know, sometimes we have too high. That's why we don't take off grave clothes. Because we love that old life. We're not to love anything that comes between ourselves and our Savior and a witness. Now, there's one other type of grave clothes. Verse 11 of the third chapter says this. Here, in the body of Christ, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. But Christ is all in all. One of the great barriers that separate us, one of the great clothes, grave clothes, that harms us individually and as a body of Christ is unity. See, unity is our greatest strength. There's been two instances. I follow football. A couple of weeks ago, there was a quarterback that in the middle of a game, he just, when they want to come out, they tap their helmet. And he just walked off the field. He was in the middle of a drive. And he went over and told his coach, I'm tired. And he wouldn't sit down. This morning, I read that there was a wide receiver that while his quarterback scrambling, trying to find somebody to throw to, he walked off the field and sat on the bench. You know, that could be a very, very vivid picture of the body of Christ today. We argue about stupid stuff. We argue about, should we have communion every week? And if we do, what time should we do it? How should we do it? Should we give it out or let somebody get it? Those are very important issues that we fight about. We fight about whether the carpet. We fight about everything in the world rather than stand in unity. And the one thing a Christian must be unified in is there is only one way, one truth, and one life that is available for people. And that is Jesus Christ. And that every one of us is absolutely different. And the gifts that works one way with one ministry in one person here will work another way in another type in myself. Why? Because just as there is multitudes of people's habits, needs, so the gifts of the Spirit equip us to meet people. And you know what the greatest problem with the unity is? We think more of ourselves than we ought to. We spend a lot of time condemning people. We spend a lot of time judging people when we're all on equal ground. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have a sin nature. All need a Savior. And the unifying factor is how, though we are vastly different, we become one in Jesus Christ. As God begins to distribute gifts, as God begins to open our eyes in different areas, why do you think the ministry and the mission of Tomoka Christian is so widespread? It's because people had a different view of where God was sending them, but God was sending them for the same reason, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, we need to take off grave clothes. You know, I've sat on this message for 2 weeks. Last week we talked about legacy giving. And in those 2 weeks, this message is, eat me up. Why? Because anybody can get so busy doing life, so busy doing ministry, that you fall to the crutch of weakness or something else, rather than man up and say, I want to go all the way to the peak. You know, when I go to heaven, I don't want there to be a place that God prepared for me that I don't get to see Jesus. I mean, everything may be perfect. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, the whole thing. But if I'm not in the neighborhood where Jesus is, then to me, heaven's not worth it, because it's my Jesus I want. And you see, that's what we've got to want here on this earth. We literally have to hate stuff that separates us from that close fellowship with God. This morning, as we go into a time of invitation, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you can't take off those grave clothes. You can't change your nature. You know, in Peter, it talks about a pig after it's been washed, perfume on, maybe pretty earrings, a little tutu, just dress that pig up. And when you turn loose that pig, you'll find mud and it'll get filthy. Why? Because of the nature of the pig. A pig with a bath is still a pig. And so if you're sitting there thinking, I just can't get rid of these grave clothes, maybe really that's a wake up that you need the only thing that will give you the power to loose yourself from those grave clothes is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, if you want to make a fresh commitment, if you want to leave some prayer, grave clothes in prayer, whatever, however God moves you this morning, I urge you to come. We're going to have folks that will be here that pray with you. If you want to talk to someone, counselors in room 3. But I ask you, make a choice today. You know, Joshua, before he went into the promised land, said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. And I think every day we have to decide who we're going to serve. Am I going to serve myself or am I going to serve God? Choose wisely. Choose Jesus. Father, as we come to you today, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word that, although that challenges and at times breaks our heart over sin and our lives, Father, it's there to cleanse us. It's there to purify. It's there to give us courage. It's there to show us who we are and all that we can be. Today, Lord, you've said your word as it goes forth will not return to you void. So, Lord, let it, your word have its way in our people today. In Jesus' name, amen.